Hey everybody, Vince here. This is the worst audio mishap I've ever had ever, and I just want to apologize out the gate. I was recording The Three of Us, which is a show that I do with my brother and my friend Kyle, about the show, the game, the comic, The Last of Us, and I have a profile on OBS that records them and records myself, and then I have a separate one that I use for Atomic Radio Hour, so I can listen to music in the background, and totally forgot to turn that one off to about halfway through. So, that being said, I don't have the intro. All I really talked about is Sony trying to put an end to the acquisition of Activision, Blizzard, and King, saying that Bethesda announced before the acquisition of Bethesda by Microsoft that Starfield and Elder Scrolls were going to be on PlayStation and they were going to be on Xbox. They're going to be on multi-platform, and now they're only going to be on Xbox, which I don't believe has been confirmed for Elder Scrolls, but I could be wrong. I might be wrong. And all that's gone because there is DJ Premier Beats and some rapping that I just had on in the background. I read something that ADHD, it's good to have music in the background. It helps you focus. So for the past like 100 episodes, I've played music in the background, if not more, to help me. It's helped tremendously, but it all got picked up. I can edit it out the way I edit, and it's just a mess, and I really, truly apologize. So I have to thank the Patreon, which will be coming up shortly after this, and then I'll be getting into this week's lore, which I'll talk a little bit more about how you can support in just a moment, and if you want to hear any sort of certain lore. But this is honestly the worst audio mishap I've ever had, and I'm really sorry. After doing this for 200 and... I'm going to correct myself, too, because I say 246, and I'm wrong, and I just don't feel like editing all that out. For 245 episodes, a mishap like this is just inexcusable. I try to hold myself to a certain level of standard, a certain level of professionalism. And this, I feel like it kind of missed the mark, so I just want to apologize. Also, It's 2:13 p.m. The day before this is supposed to come out. This is supposed to come out in a few hours. I'm going to do my damnedest to make sure it comes out, if not on time, the day it's supposed to come out. And the easiest thing for me to do was just apologize and move on. Maybe I'll talk about the Activision situation a little more next week just because of what happened. I apologize. Thank you for sticking around. Share this show with a friend if you get a chance. It's not normally like this, I promise you. It's not normally like this. I love you, and I will see you soon. So please, without further ado, here is myself. Because of the Patreon, I continue to make the show bigger and better. In the mail today, I actually just got a piece of equipment that I can't wait to mess around with this weekend, and hopefully next episode or the episode after, I will have something special, hopefully, if everything works out and I can figure it out. I might have to go out and buy a part or two, so I might have to wait until not this Friday, the day before this gets posted, but the next weekend. Anyway, because of you guys, I continue to grow the show and make things bigger and better. So I have to thank a couple people. And starting from the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Danny. Thank you, Danny. After Danny, I have to thank Marcus. Thank you, Marcus. And last but certainly not least, I have to thank Mellow Milhouse. Thank you to Mellow Milhouse. Like I said, because of you guys, the show gets bigger and better every single week. And I thank you, and I love you. Now, I've been doing the way we do lore around these parts a little different, and I've been asking the Discord in a poll. I'm sorry, not Discord. I've been asking the Patreon in a poll. So I'll hit them with a couple of options, and I'll say, what do you want to hear the most? And one of these options I thought about adding, and then I realized that I had done it in episode 21. Episode 21, almost 4 or 5 years ago. I talked about this before we even had video. That's how old this is. So I wanted to do one of the older ones, and I think I might go back and write down all these ideas and just slowly go through them and see what needs to still be uploaded. I think it's like the first 50-something episodes really should be uploaded as their own lore segments. So that being said, if you want to hear any lore whatsoever, join the Patreon. Even a dollar... One single dollar gets you the option to choose lore, to help choose lore, to put your vote in for lore for the coming week. And that's at $1. And if you're at the $10 tier, the highest tier that I offer, you can also listen to the full podcast episodes be recorded live in the Discord. I will ask the Discord from time to time just to get some ideas, just to get a little bit of a backup idea. So make sure you're in the Discord and also leave a YouTube comment, because I will take submissions pretty much from anywhere for what lore you guys at home want to hear. From the biggest of big to the minutia, nothing's off the table. So like I said, this week's lore comes from Patreon, and this week's lore is on Shady Sands from Fallout and Fallout 2 and the series as a whole. Shady Sands is the capital of the New California Republic and is known as the largest urban center. Shady Sands has some very humble beginnings, and we'll get into that in a minute, but it's genuinely amazing to see how something goes from sand and sticks and twigs and rock to a city. Not built on pre-existing structures and is all built from scratch, and boasts an inhabitants of over 3,000 people by the year 2241. Now, Vault 15, we got to take it all the way back to where Shady Sands started, and Shady Sands starts because of a vault, Vault 15. Its vault experiment was to seal people off with varying different ideologies from different races, from different backgrounds, the way people speak differently, the way people think differently. The idea was that after 50 years, the different ideologies would all come together and hate each other, and they'd eventually kill each other from the inside. Its population by 2067 was out of hand, and overcrowding began to occur. And by the spring of 2141, the Vault 15 door opens. And Vault 15 had itself a Gek, a Garden of Eden creation kit. If you're a longtime fan, you'll know that there is, it's a wonder tool. It's a MacGuffin if there ever was one. It is the tool that can make, it can irrigate crops, it can make water, it can, it's shown off as a suitcase, but it can somehow drill for water. It can help you build things. I'm assuming there's seeds or seed replicants in there, and you can build an entire community because of the Gek. Now, Aradesh, a man who left Vault 15, Aradesh used it to jumpstart the settlement of Shady Sands. He made the buildings inside, which are these like adobo, very Mexican-inspired, Southern California-looking the houses, very basic. They're like row homes. They have crops. They have fields. And they have a giant wall that is the perimeter of Shady Sands. It is a small, self-sufficient settlement that keeps mostly to itself outside of some trading and whatnot. Its main crops are maize and cabbage. It has a well for water, and it has Brahmin fields. And all of this is used to trade. Mostly they trade with Junktown in 2161, but they're not opposed to trading with other people. But Junktown to the south of them, which later, you know, I'll just talk about Junktown when I get there later. They talk back and forth, and they trade things, they share secrets. But not many people seem to leave, especially when you speak to Tandy, who I'll get to shortly. They're such a large town that their number one problem is the Khans and Rad Scorpions. Now, the Khans are one of a few different raider groups that show up because of Vault 15. When Vault 15 opens up, it's, do we raid or do we begin civilization? And the Khans, I can only imagine that there's a sense of jealousy between the Khans and Vault 15. Not 15, maybe Tandy in a weird way, even though it kind of comes to bite her in the ass. There's probably a weird weird competition between 15 and the Khans, just because it's like, hey, you guys got to live and be successful, and we're wearing leather and starving and doing drugs. So imagine just one day leaving the vault and going off and doing your own thing, and then hearing from your raider buddy, hey, there's a town across the way that's got a good score in it. We could take some Brahmin, we could take some money or whatever. And then you get there, and here's Aradesh, the nice man from the library that you just now have a gun pointed at. And he's like, Joshua. And you're like, it's not Joshua anymore, it's Toe Fungus. And you're like, Toe Fungus? Why would you do this to me, my boy? I just think there's a lot of fun storytelling there. Now, the Khans were a small force at first, but they slowly amped up their attacks and made it more and more over time, to the point where it's a lot of men being focused on attacking Shady Sands. And the Rad Scorpion population just kind of grew over time the way things, weeds grow. It's just when something goes unchecked, it gets bigger and badder and worse before it gets better. Now, the Vault Dweller, at some point in the 2160s, shows up and helps with these problems. The Khans with Tandy. I made reference to her a couple times. Tandy being the daughter of Eridesh. They kidnap Tandy, and they take her to the Khan base. And while she's at the Khan base, you know, some evil occurs. But the Vault Dweller goes and takes care of it. And then the Rad Scorpion problem is one of the first quests you can do in the game, where you go help out the town of Shady Sands with their Rad Scorpion problem. Now, from 2161 to 2241, which is an 80-year gap, this town grew into the largest and most influential political power since the pre-war. This is some truly monumental stuff that Shady Sands is able to accomplish within 80 years. Shady Sands gets referred to as NCR, even though they never officially have changed their name, and they trade with most settlements. Almost nothing after 80 years of the original Shady Sands remains. They've completely rebuilt. They are getting a massive amount of supplies from other settlements. They are having people come in with new ideas. They've built a government. They have a congressional building that they have the congressional building and the president's mansion inside of NCR. Inside, this is the capital of the NCR. There's 5 states of the NCR, which I get to in a little bit later, but this is the largest and the capital, like I said prior. Now, I've spoken about her so much, but we should get into Tandy. Tandy being the daughter of Eridesh and the president for life, as she's sometimes called in the Fallout universe. Before I get into that, real quick, there's a really, really great point in New Vegas that I love, where you can confront Kaisar and ask him, hey, what makes you any different? Why do you think you're better than NCR? And he's like, the NCR claims themselves to be a democracy, but their most influential, most respected, most loved president was a woman who was elected at like 16 and didn't stop being president until she was like 96. She was president for like 80 years. She died when she was 103, which I'll get to in a second. But she's president for so long, she's incredibly pragmatic. I don't have it written down here. I did do a lore segment on Tandy. It's on the channel. You should check it out. I'd advise you to do as such. Where it's hinted at that she was a lesbian. Not that it matters. I just like world building. But this is a woman who is president and is very pragmatic and so charismatic that she can just kind of get away with things. She's instrumental into the invasion of Vault 8, Vault City, making that a settlement within NCR territory. And using the Brotherhood to help a faction that said they never really wanted any sort of political power. They never wanted a political stance. They just kind of wanted to be on the outskirts of everything, watching. Tandy wants Shady Sands to be known as a clean town filled with hardworking people. But in reality, it's not. It just isn't. It's not quite how they really are. They keep order within its walls with a large and competent police force. It's never said directly on the wiki, but it's very much implied the way that it's written down that the police force, it's very much a police state. It's very much a keep in line or we'll break your shins kind of place. It honestly, reading it kind of reminded me of a little bit about Pyongyang in North Korea, where only the elite of North Korea are allowed to exist. They're given cars and they can go shopping and they have a little bit more freedom, but it's still North Korea. And they kind of reminded me of that. I'm not saying that Shady Sands is North Korea, just the idea of like, we live here. Like, rent in Shady Sands must be a lot. It's probably super safe too. Outside of Shady Sands, whatever they can't take by force, they use money to get what they want. Like I said a little bit ago, Tandy invades Vault City. Vault City really didn't want to be part of NCR. But hey, it's a vault that had working generators, that they had stuff outside the vault, and they had their own ways to make chems and meds and a bunch of other stuff, and they wanted it. So they got what they wanted. They've adopted a bunch of other settlements, and they have money. They have an insane amount of money. Their greatest export is cattle. They supply most of the NCR with their beef and leather. So they have leather just to carry things, leather to make like weapon straps, weapons to make backpacks, to make armor, to make various things that leather could help with, some shoes. They have the monopoly almost on beef, on Brahmin, on cattle. Within the NCR, the Brahmin barons, the ranchers, and the Stocksmen Association have such a great deal of political sway because of what the Brahmin, what the cattle means to the economy of NCR. So if you say, hey, I need money for land, or I need more land, and NCR says, sorry, can't do it. And you say, okay, well, I think my herds might thin out soon. So maybe if you give me some land, or, you know, maybe my leather quality isn't as great. So maybe if you give me what I want. So there's a little bit of corruption. NCR is corrupt. Like, play New Vegas. Play Fallout 2. Fallout 2 is the beginning of you seeing the corruption. In Fallout 1, it's very much a, this could be the next big thing for humanity. We could rise up. We could be the new California Republic. And by time you see, New Vegas, it's the leftovers of what Tandy wrought. It's seeing Tandy go, oh, hey, I want everything within my sight. Tandy's incredibly pragmatic, and just this overreaching hand that would reach in and grab what she wanted and pull it back into her territory. Like I said, with Vault 8. And now you have people that have taken over. Kimball has taken over and wants the dam. The dam is useful because it could be used to power all of NCR territory. But also, you know, like, what right do you have to that? You can't just show up and say to these people who don't know how to read, hey, time to pay taxes. I've alluded to it quite a bit during this entire lore segment, but the state itself of Shady Sands is incredibly interesting to me. For various reasons. It started off as just this little piece of land that then grew and grew and grew, and it later incorporated Vault 15. Now, Vault 15 is to the east of Shady Sands, and they later incorporated that. That becomes a place that people can live. It becomes a place people can settle. It becomes a place that is protected by Shady Sands, by NCR. After that, they then incorporated Junktown to the south of them. So now you have a town that is already resourceful enough. It has Doc Morbid, which, depending on what you do, he may or may not be there. Depending on which way you do the quest in Junktown, you either get a man like Killian or you get a man like Gizmo. And depending on which way you go, the town either devolves into debauchery or the town devolves into a society that could thrive. And now Shady Sands, whether they can just incorporate that or fix that, they have that. They have more men. They're more supplied. They have a better trade route. They also have the bordering states that are the Hub and Maxon, which join in a little bit later, but Shady Sands is the most northern state of the NCR. But also, the NCR eventually incorporates parts of Arroyo. So where the Chosen One is from, that entire settlement gets kind of swept into what Arroyo is. So Arroyo, because of their GEC, they get to prosper and grow. And then NCR shows up and goes, we want you. And they join. Now there's five states of the NCR. There's Shady, or the Shady Sands, the capital. There's Los Angeles, there's Maxon, there's the Hub, and there's Dayglo. And like I said before, Dayglo is just the remnants of the glow to the north of people saying, we need to make sure this never happens again. Shady Sands is an incredibly, incredibly fascinating. The idea of these essentially cavemen, like modern day cavemen. That's what I love about the original Fallouts is that, especially Fallout 2, is that you get to see these tribals. You get to see a little bit in Fallout 1 with the Khans, but there's these literal men that come out, men and women, that come out of these caves that are man-made caves. And these man-made caves have their own sort of culture, they have their own sort of technology, and here opens the cave. These people walk out and go, what are we going to do? From this point on, what are we going to do? And you see a society rise. You see people, you see culture, you see language. Aradesh, I love that he's like a vaguely beige-ish brown man because of how there was different types of people inside the vault, and it was to see how they would meld together. So I got all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukipedia, if you will, and I just want to read some quick things off of the Fallout Wiki right now. Just because I think it's so interesting, I want to read just the appearances. Because I want to, I think I've made it pretty apparent how important Shady Sands is, not just to Fallout 1 and 2, but to the entirety of the Fallout series. And I want to read their appearances. Shady Sands first appears in Fallout, with the New California Republic only being mentioned in the end cutscenes. The NCR first appears in Fallout 2 as an advanced Shady Sands. In Fallout New Vegas, Shady Sands is mentioned by missionaries in the quest GI Blues alongside the Boneyard, Aradesh, and Vault 15. Aradesh and Tandy are also on the NCR currency. And by Angela Williams at Camp McCarran. In Fallout 3's Galaxy News Radio play, The Adventures of Herbert Daring Dashwood, the stalwart ghoul manservant Argyle mentions a Shady Sands shuffle, reverse pickpocketing, as he slides a grenade into the pockets of hostile supermutants. In Fallout 4, there is reference to Shady Sands in a case file about the mysterious stranger that can be found in the Valentine Detective Agency underneath a bed. One can also hear Shady Sands mentioned on the radio in the memories of Kellogg. And in Fallout Wasteland Warfare, I guess it's not in 76 at all. In Fallout Wasteland Warfare, the town is referred to as Shady Shores because after it became the capital of the New California Republic, it is identified as the largest city in the Republic and one of the largest in the entire wasteland. This puts Diamond City to shame. This puts Megaton to shame. This puts the Citadel to shame. This puts New Vegas to shame. It puts everything I could think of to shame. The hub, all of it. It's the most important city. It's one of the most important settlements in the entire series. And I love it. I think it's so dope. And I just wanted to share that with you. Like I said, I did this exact piece of lore almost 4 or 5 years ago, 221, 225 episodes ago. That's all I have for you. That's all I have on this week's lore. So, hey, guys, I normally do this in the beginning, but I didn't because of the whole audio issue, and I totally forgot. But thanks for sticking around. If you're still here, I'd really appreciate it if you check out the three of us. It's me, Kyle, and my brother, Michael. We did a show about The Last of Us, the TV show, and we're going to use that as our outlet to talk about various other forms of The Last of Us, a series that we both really, really love. Again, check out the Patreon if you get a chance. You could support at $1 to $10. I love you very much if you do so. Just check it out and just show this to a friend. Say, hey, there's this guy who has a hat and some glasses and a beard and likes to talk about Fallout, and pass it around. It means a lot if you do so. I hope you guys are liking it. Let me know what you think of it. Let me know what you want to hear from Lauren. Seriously. I'd love to hear from you, but that's really all I have for you this episode. My name has been Vince, and the intro music is by the one and only Shane Ivers. It's called Feather Duster, and you can get Feather Duster and all of Shane Ivers' free music at silvermansounds.com/free music. You can check out the Patreon, like I said. There's also a Redbubble down there to buy a design. Join the Discord, my Twitter, the show's Twitter, and Kyle's Twitter. Again, that's all I really have. Thank you so much for sticking with me this week. I hope you're doing well, and I'll see you next week. Bye, everybody. See ya.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.